Well, hey everybody, welcome to episode 287 of the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast. As always, it is brought to you by our good friends at Coldwell Banker Mid-America. Their integrity guides their focus to empower people to make the best real estate decisions possible. They pair local ownership and knowledge with the power of an international brand and the most advanced technology to elevate the customer experience and expectations. Their network of resources allows them to be the number one Coldwell Banker franchise affiliate in Iowa, guiding you home for over 30 years. All right, we're going to talk a lot of boys wrestling tonight as we have the big annual Jaghawk Showdown on tap for tomorrow night at Ankeny. My first guest is the longtime head coach of the Ankeny squad, and he guided the Hawks to a 14th place finish in last year's Class 3A state tournament. He is Jack Wignall. Coach, thanks for joining me. How you doing?
You bet, Dan. It's good. Longtime head coach, that sounds weird. But I guess this is my 11th season, I think.
It's kind of hard to believe, isn't it?
It is.
Well, before we preview Thursday's meet and look ahead to the rest of the season, I just wanted to begin by recapping your first two meets. You guys opened the season last Thursday with a convincing 53-19 victory at Valley, where you won 10 of the 14 matches and you earned bonus points in 9 of them. You know, you had to be really pleased with that opener.
You just never know what it's going to be like going into that first duel. We've had some kids that put some work in. You know, our lower weights have been tough for several years, and we've even had good upper weights, you know, a few years ago. And last season was a bit of a struggle and learning experience for those guys, and they all put some time in over the off season, and you just hope that pays off. And we came out on Thursday night, and they just ripped into them. It was more than just winning. It was guys going out there and having fun and really, really just fighting for every single point that was available. It was great to see.
Well, yeah, you guys racked up 5 falls, 2 tech falls, and a major decision. You know, is getting those bonus points something that you really emphasize with the guys? I mean, taking advantage of those opportunities to get every point that you can?
I think it's a little different this year with the 3-point takedown and the near fall. They do rack up a lot quicker. You can get down quick, and you can also get the points back quick, but I think the mentality is still a little bit, you get taken down, and you're down by that much. It can be 7 points, and it's tough to get back. So we really haven't emphasized pinning and bonus point wins. I mean, that's something that we I guess the expectation is there, and then not to give that stuff up. But these guys are just – this is a different team than I've ever had. And I think some things that we implemented early on with the kids, trying to make the culture of our program – more enjoyable for everybody. Kids are loose. Kids are having fun, and they're scoring lots of points.
Well, yeah, I wasn't there for that meet, but my reporter Steven was there, and from what he wrote, it sounds like you were happy with even some of the guys who lost. Cash Johnson dropped an 18-7 major decision to defending state runner-up Ja'Kari Clark at 157. You know, he showed a lot of fight at the end of that match, didn't he?
He absolutely did. unless you were there on our bench, people probably didn't see it, but Cash about vomited 3 times on that kid, so he wasn't feeling very good, and he was still able to gut out a good performance and against, you know, arguably one of the best kids in the state at that weight class.
Well, then over the next 2 days, your team competed in the Dan Gable Donnybrook at Coralville. You guys placed 11th in the 38-team field with 187 points. You had 4 top 10 finishers and 6 other place winners. And I know you told me over the weekend, like you just kind of emphasized, that maybe you've never had a team wrestle this well early in the season, have you?
Never. And, you know, I knew that going into the season that our upper weights were going to have to step it up if we were going to be a good dual team and just a good team overall. Well, they have played the part very, very well. They are difference makers in tournaments and dual meets, and they are scoring points, and they are wrestling whistle to whistle. And they're maybe not as talented as some of the teams that we've had, some of the upper weight kids we had, but they're fighting harder. They're having more fun. I think sometimes the pressure of winning, and I am guilty of this, gets to you, and you let some things go that don't help those kids relax and have the process move forward. So, those kids needed to step up, and they are. And, yeah, we were minus 2 weights. We didn't have a 20-pounder or a heavyweight, and then our 65-pounder only wrestled 1 day. So, you know, 2.5 weight classes, and we still We were close to the top 10. We were third in pins of the entire tournament. Our kids, they're just wrestling great.
Well, yeah, our team was led by the duo of Ben Walsh and Truman Folkers. Ben placed third at 113 pounds. Truman took sixth at 126. You know, I'll start with Ben. I know he had two falls and two tech falls in the tournament, and he was getting beat in his third place match against Cole Coniglia of Creighton Prep. You know, when he was able to battle back and get the fall in 432, you know, he just didn't give up, did he?
He didn't. And you know, I mean, Ben's wrestled a ton, but for him to do that after he's cutting a lot of weight. We knew the kid that he was going to wrestle was really good on top. And then when that kid took Ben down and scored a bunch of points, we were like, oh, well, that kid is really good on top. There were opportunities for Ben just to get pinned. The kid had him stacked up and ripping his shoulders off. And he didn't quit, and he didn't quit, and he didn't quit. And he scored some points, and then he got on top and caught the kid and pinned him. And that was a huge testament to Ben's the different mindset he has this year as he has in previous years. It's just different.
Well, of course, Truman is your most experienced wrestler. He's a three-time state qualifier and a two-time place winner. You know, what can you say about his performance at the tournament, and what do you expect out of him the rest of the season?
There are two Trumans. There's a Truman that can go out there and relax and score a bunch of points against really, really top-notch kids. And then there's a Truman that goes out against a kid that he knows that is really, really good, and he'll get a lead and sit on it. And, you know, he knows this. We know this, and we've talked about this. That is, you know, a lot of kids we work with technique on, and a lot of kids we do this and that. With Truman, it's going to be you got to cut it loose every single time you step on the mat, because when you do that, you're almost unbeatable. He wrestled a kid from Don Bosco, I think, one of the wrestle back matches that was beat a couple state champs last year. I talked to his coach, and he was just a hammer, and Truman majored him. I can't remember if he teched him or not, but that kid is solid, and Truman just whooped him, and that's the kind of kid I want to see. That's the kind of wrestler I want Truman to be every time he steps out there.
Well, your other top 10 finishers were Calvin Rocci at 132 and Riley Edgeberg at 190. And Riley pinned Triton Cox of Albert Lee, Minnesota in his ninth place match. And like you mentioned, that was one of the 24 falls that your team recorded in the tournament, which ranked the third overall. And you also told me that your team collectively finished 50 spots higher than what they were seeded. So perhaps you guys were underseeded at a lot of weights, because if you weren't, then you really overperformed, didn't you?
Yeah, we really did. And, you know, that's a 40-team tournament, and they seed them one, probably the top 10 kids, and then everybody else is just drawn in. So it's the luck of the draw, and we weren't going to complain about it. We knew that we wanted to get our hands on some specific kids, and we did. Riley Edgeberg is one that put some work in over the summer, and you just hope for his sake that it pays off and he can go out there and perform. Last year he was 3-18. This year he's 5-1. He's already eclipsed his win total from last year. Calvin is a Rocci. He is incredible. I mean, he is technically sound. He's just a great kid. His work ethic is off the charts, and he's just a great kid to have in our wrestling room, and a great weight on our varsity team. It's nice to have another one in the room again.
Well, yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing him wrestle. I haven't had a chance to see him wrestle yet. Well, let's look ahead to Thursday's meet now. Centennial won last year's meeting 42-17, but you guys had won the previous three meetings. The Jaguars opened their season last Thursday with a 40-39 win over fifth-ranked Waukee Northwest. You know, do you feel like it's a pretty even matchup on paper?
Yeah, I do. We've got some tricks up our sleeve for this dual meet. You know, this is a big dual meet, and we want to win it. And, you know, we're just trying to figure out where to put everybody and make sure that our matchups are where we want them, and so that we can win the dual meet. And it's always close. Jay Groth has, does he have 300 dual meet wins?
Like that, yeah.
I mean, you just don't fall into those. That's a lot of dual meet wins. So the guy knows how to win matches, knows how to win dual meets. So they're going to give us their best showing. They always do. So we got to be ready for that.
Well, like you mentioned, you guys weren't at full strength for the Donnybrook. You know, we have a full lineup tomorrow night?
Yeah, we do have a full lineup. Yep. Our heavyweight was nursing a sore thumb, and I think we got him through that. And we had a kid that was trying to cut the 20 that is just too big. And we couldn't replace him at the Donnybrook, so we just left that weight open. But we've got a kid there that we're excited about, and he's going to wrestle well.
All right. Well, both teams currently have five ranked wrestlers. You know, there's a couple of weights where we could have ranked wrestlers facing each other, including at 120, where Centennial's Kel Vandermark is ranked third, and your guy, Aiden Winkie, is ranked 11th. You know, do you see 120 as one of the pivotal matches?
Not really. Aiden is one of the kids that he couldn't make 20. It was just too big of a cut. So we have another wrestler in there. So that may not be one of the pivotal matches. But, you know, bonus points can make a difference. If our kid can go out there and wrestle hard, then that's a win for us, even mentally.
Sure.
Even if it doesn't give up bonus points.
Well, yeah, of course, the Centennial is really strong at the middleweights, too, where Isaac Brule is ranked sixth at 150. Max DeBold is second at 157. So, you know, those are probably a couple of weights where maybe you guys aren't going to win, or maybe you won't expect to win, but, you know, you don't want to give up those bonus points, do you?
Yeah, no, we don't want to give up those bonus points. And, you know, we talked about it tonight at practice that, yep, they've got some good weight classes. They got some really good kids. But the way we train and the things that we do, we expect our kids to go out there and perform and not just look at who's in the singlet and automatically give them six. That's just not our mentality when we wrestle. So not giving up bonus points to win dual meets is huge.
Like you mentioned, you've been really happy with the progress of your upper weights, you know, including Andrew Hossie, who's sitting here with us tonight, and I'll be talking to him here shortly. He placed 18th at 215 pounds at the Donnybrook. You know, so it hasn't taken him long to get into wrestling shape after football season, has it?
No. Well, we've really had a lot of success in how we've trained. We're doing things a little bit differently this year, and he's come a long ways. And, you know, I told Andrew when he decided to come out as a freshman that he was like one of the first basketball kids that we converted from basketball to wrestling, and it was important for our program to get a kid like Andrew wrestling. And his grandpa was a wrestling coach up in Michigan for decades, and so I know his mom was happy when he decided to wrestle, and it's been just wonderful having this kid in the room, and he's put the work in the off season as well. And it shows when he wrestles. He is completely different on how he moves and what he does than it was last year.
Like the Jaguars have been happy with their upper weights as well. They got a big fall from Ryan Smith at 175 in their win over Waukee Northwest. You know, so even though there aren't a lot of ranked kids in those upper weights, you know, I'm sure you feel like all those matches are going to be crucial, don't you?
Absolutely. We attend the Luther College team camp every summer, and you know, we take all kids that have never wrestled to state champs. And the fun thing about that environment, and because it's a dual meet environment, is that some of those kids that have never wrestled before also are wrestling kids that have never wrestled before. So when you get to that point in a dual meet and two kids that have never wrestled before decide the dual meet, it's just as important as the best kids in your dual meet team. So everybody has a job to do, everybody has a part, and it's pivotal. That's what makes a good dual team. Your kids that maybe aren't ranked or aren't the number one guys in their weight classes still have a job to do. And so it's going to be a fun duel.
Well, regardless of how this meet turns out, both teams are going to have to move on. And I know your big picture focus is on peaking at the state tournament in February. And that's the big reason why you guys competed in the Donnybrook last weekend to help you prepare for that. You know, do you feel like this team could potentially be a top 10 squad in Class 3A, you know, if you get everybody on the mat in February and peaking at the same time?
Absolutely. I absolutely feel that. You know, maybe before the Valley duel, I just didn't know. I didn't know how these guys would respond to the training that we had and their training in the off season. But now I feel absolutely that we are a top 10 team in 3A. I'm really excited to see how far these guys can go. It's fun.
Well, it should be a fun meet tomorrow night. I'm looking forward to it. I'll see you there, Jack. So thanks for coming tonight.
Thanks, Dan. Appreciate it.
You bet. All right, well, my next guest is a senior for the Hawks, and he's also a standout defensive end on the football team. He'll play that sport next year at Wayne State College in Nebraska, and this is his second appearance on the podcast. He was just here a couple of months ago during football season. He is Andrew Hawsey. Andrew, thanks for joining me. How you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm doing good. Well, how do you feel like the season is going thus far? I know it's early.
I feel like we're doing good. The vibes on the wrestling team are really, really high right now. We're all having fun. We're all getting along. I just feel like this year it's going to be a special year.
Now, your football season didn't end until the quarterfinal round of the Class 5A playoffs, so you didn't have a lot of time off, you know, or to get ready for the wrestling season. You know, are you able to make that transition pretty smoothly?
Yeah, we had about a week off before the wrestling season started, and just the preseason practices and just getting on the mat really helped me transition from football to wrestling. And even once wrestling season started, just going hard every day, training as hard as possible, really helped make that transition as easy.
Well, do you feel like you're in wrestling shape now, or is it still going to take you a while to, you know, to get to where you want to be?
It's going to take a little bit. I think I'll need a little bit longer, but I feel like I'm in pretty good shape right now.
Well, you're obviously one of the leaders on the football team. You know, have you tried to be a leader for the wrestling squad as well?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Coach Wing was very adamant with the seniors this year that we need to take a leadership role because we're the ones that need to change the culture of the program, make sure that we lead this program to where we want to go. And, yeah, I feel like I've taken on that leadership role.
Well, you had one of your team's five falls in that win at Valley. You know, what did you think of your team's performance that night? Do you think it showed the kind of potential that this team has?
Mm-hmm. I felt like we looked really, really good. Everyone just looked really, really strong, really, really dominant. It was just a complete team win on against Valley.
Well, like we talked earlier, you guys then went over to Coralville to wrestle in the Donnybrook, you know, over the next 2 days. And I know Coach likes to, you know, enter the team in that tournament to give you a preview of what the state tournament will be like in February. Was that a pretty quick turnaround for you to get on the mat again on Friday morning?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I felt like I was pretty sore Friday morning, but after my first match, didn't win that one, but the rest of the tournament, I felt like I wrestled pretty well. Just had to get back to the new Hazy, as we call it. Just try and wrestle how we learned this summer and just try and get back to that new way.
Well, Coach talked about maybe some guys having trouble cutting weight. You're wrestling at 215, but you were listed at 220 during football season. Did you have any trouble making weight, you know, for those first two meets, or was that pretty easy for you?
No, it was pretty easy. Just had to cut out the chips and dessert.
There you go. Well, you did lose your first match at the Donnybrook, but then you bounced back with a couple of falls in the third period in the consolation bracket before you eventually lost to Andrew Hockett of Bondurant Farrar. So you finished 18th overall. You know, how did you feel about your performance over there?
You know, felt pretty good. Those two matches out of one, I wrestled pretty well in. At least that's what my coaches told me. I really want to get back that Bondurant Farrar win. I feel like that's a match I can get later in the season, and just for seedings and other purposes in February, I feel like that's a must win.
Well, let's look ahead to Thursday's meet. This will likely be your last head-to-head battle against the Jags, unless the two teams would happen to meet at the state duels. You know, what would that mean to you to get a win in your last Jag-Hawk duel, especially since you guys, you know, lost the one last year?
It'll be awesome. That's always a meet I have circled personally. I don't like losing to Centennial, but no, I'm excited to get back, get that first home duel out of the way, and just get ready for the rest of the season.
Well, of course, last year you dropped a 9-5 decision to Mitchell Greider, who went on to place 8th in the state tournament. You know, do you remember much about that match? It was pretty close the whole way, wasn't it?
Yeah, had him on his back a couple times, but just couldn't finish and got taken down. I wrestled pretty well in that match, but I feel like this year will be a lot better. I'll wrestle more solid. I'll stay in my positions, and it'll just be a better match overall.
Well, of course, Greider didn't go out this year. You know, were you a little disappointed that you didn't get a chance to avenge that loss?
A little bit. I know Mitchell Greider just threw football, and I kind of wanted to wrestle him this year, but whoever steps in front of me, I'll try my hardest and try to beat him.
Well, yeah, the Jags have been wrestling Brooke Keller at your weight, and he placed 3rd at the Keith Young Invitational on Saturday at Cedar Falls. Have you ever wrestled him? Do you know much about him?
Haven't wrestled him, but I played youth baseball with him, so we're kind of buddies there, and our families get along really well, so it'll be fun wrestling him on Thursday.
Well, when you look at the dual meet as a whole, you know, what do you think are going to be the pivotal matches?
Oh, gosh. heavyweight, my match, just the upper weights, maybe I think the Max DeBolt match, if we can keep bonus points away from Centennial, I think that'll be huge for us.
Well, pretty much every match is important because every point counts, right?
Yep.
Well, we talked with Coach about the goals for this team. You know, do you feel like this squad has a lot of potential?
Mm-hmm. I feel like this is a top four team in the state. I have really high goals for this team and really think that we can make it far in February.
Well, hey, before I let you go, I just wanted to ask you a quick football question. You know, are you excited for this first 12-team college football playoff? Do you have a team that you're rooting for?
I'd say I'm rooting for Boise State, just because Ashton Gentry, I want him to win the Heisman. I like Travis Hunter, but I feel like snaps don't really mean you get the Heisman.
Right. So. Yeah, that'll be interesting. Should be a lot of fun. Well, I'm looking forward to the meet tomorrow. I'll see you there, Andrew. Thanks for coming tonight.
Thank you.
You bet. All right, you're listening to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Coldwell Banker MidAmerica. Revive Dermatology Clinic and Spa is also a sponsor of the podcast. Revive opened in 2017 and is located on the south side of Ankeny, near Hy-Vee. They provide top-tier aesthetic procedures as well as dermatology. You can usually get a dermatology appointment the same day. Revive offers Botox, fillers, lasers, medical-grade skincare, weight loss injections, and cool sculpting. Revive loves Ankeny and is very supportive of this community. You can give them a call at 515-965-5677. And I also want to thank MJ Properties for being the title sponsor of Ankeny Fanatic. MJ Properties also hosts the weekly podcast out here at the Standard Building on Northeast 36th, and we appreciate the accommodations here. So thank you very much to MJ Properties for their support of Ankeny Fanatic. All right, well, my next guest is the longtime head coach of the Ankeny Centennial squad, and he guided the Jaguars to a fourth-place finish in last year's Class 3A state tournament, which matched the highest finish in school history. He also led his team to a fifth-place finish in the state duels tournament. He is Jay Groth. Jay, thanks for joining me. How you doing?
Great, Dan. Thanks for having us. Appreciate it.
Hey, you bet. Well, before we preview Thursday's meet and look ahead to the rest of the season, I just wanted to begin by recapping your first two meets. You guys opened the season last Thursday with a thrilling 40-39 victory over number 5, Waukee Northwest, that went right down to the wire. You know, that was a pretty exciting way to open the season, wasn't it?
It was. I don't know. I've been doing this a long time. I'm not sure I can handle that kind of stress in the first match of the year, but it was a good win for us. The guys really battled and came through where we need them to with bonus points and did good things out there. So, we're really pleased with season opener because Northwest is a good team.
Well, each team won 7 of the 14 matches, but you guys had 4 falls, 2 tech falls, and won another match by forfeit, and that was just enough to bonus points to offset Northwest bonus points. You know, so it was one of those dual meets where literally every point mattered, and you guys were ahead 34-28 with 3 matches left, but Northwest had 3 of their ranked wrestlers, you know, lined up to wrestle in those matches. So your team needed a big win, and certainly Ryan Smith got you one, didn't he?
He sure did. He lost to that kid the year before, and He looked great out there. He did his technique was very good. His conditioning was, you know, really good for this early in the year. And he just kept pushing the pace and caught the kid in bad position near the end of the match and put him on his back and pinned him.
Well, of course, Northwest still could have forged a tie with a pair of pins in the last two matches, but you guys went with Charlie Sloan out there at 190, and he was able to avoid a fall against number 3, Abe Parker. So even though he lost by a tech fall, you know, he did what he needed to do to not get pinned, right?
He did. Right before he went out on the mat, I told him, I said, I want you to go out there and win, but, you know, you cannot get pinned. You get in bad position, you bail out, and you fight off your back and do not get pinned. And he got cradled, and Parker's a good kid, but tell you what, Charlie is a stubborn wrestler. He doesn't give up a position very often, and he fought out of that cradle and ended up, you know, that was key to us winning the duel, is just getting tech there instead of pinned.
Well, then on Saturday, your team traveled to Cedar Falls for the Keith Young Invitational, and you ended up winning the team title with 189.5 points. You finished 20.5 points ahead of North Scott. You had 5 finalists and a pair of individual champs. You know, so it was a pretty complete team performance, wasn't it?
Sure was, yeah. We had a couple open spots, injury, and that sort of thing. So we had 11 wrestlers compete on the varsity, and I think of the 11, 9 of them placed 5th or higher. We brought some extra kids along, some kids that are, you know, right there on the edge of being varsity and challenging for those spots, and they wrestled really well. So they didn't score any points for us, but it was good to see them. You know, those, I think the 5 kids we brought, one of them finished 4th, one finished 5th, and the other ones all won some matches. So we're pretty deep. We got a great senior class. I think I got 18 or 19 seniors on the team, which is, I think, probably more than I've ever had in all my years of coaching to have that many seniors still. on the team and still enjoying the sport and, you know, trying to make the lineup and contribute. And whether they contribute on the JV or the varsity, they're having fun doing it. That's awesome.
Well, your two champs were Kel Vandermark at 120 pounds and Max DeBolt at 157, and they're ranked a third and second at their respective weights. Kel pinned all three of his opponents in a combined 4 minutes and 11 seconds, so he wasn't really challenged. Now, of course, he placed fourth at the state tournament each of the previous 2 years, and it seems like he's primed to maybe finish even higher this year, huh?
Yeah, I would say, and several of the coaches have told him this too, that Kel is far better wrestler right now than he was last year. He's really developed, and he's been going to Seabolt and training up there, and the kid loves to work. I mean, he will go all day, every day, no matter what, whether you're lifting, wrestling, running, competing, whatever you're doing, he wants to be the best at it, and he is putting in a lot of time. He's a 4.0 student and just a great kid all the way around. So, yeah, I think he's right there. I think you could probably rank all three of those guys right now, their top three, as 1-1-1, and just see what happens when we get to the state tournament.
And of course, Max was just as dominant. He recorded a pair of falls before posting a 19-3 technical fall over number 5 Joe Hirsch of Western Dubuque. And of course, he placed third at state last year, which was the highest finish by a Centennial freshman since 2017. And then he had a great off season where he was a double All-American, including a runner-up finish at Fargo. And I know he's got a long way to go to match some of the accomplishments that Ben Monroe had in terms of all-time wins and state tournament finishes. You know, but he's got the potential to put himself in that conversation, doesn't he?
He sure does. Yeah, Max, another kid that loves the sport. Trains with Seabold as well, puts in a ton of time. The kid wrestles all year long, goes to tournaments all over the place. Great kid, great attitude, loves the sport, always having a good time in practice, having fun. He keeps things light for some of his partners like Isaac Brule over here. They wrestle each other a lot, really scrap, but have fun doing it. And, yeah, I think he's another one that is, 57, tough weight class. You got a two-time state champ ranked number one ahead of Max, but I think we continue to improve and continue to work at it. And, that's another one of those weights where I think we can make something happen.
Well, you guys got to runner-up finishes from your other three ranked wrestlers. Number 9, Andrew Rowland at 132. Number 10, Ethan Sodergren at 138. And number 6, Isaac Brule at 150. Now I'll be talking to Isaac here in a few minutes, but I just wanted to ask you about his tournament. You know, he was in a pretty tough bracket, wasn't he?
Yeah, I had two state runner-ups in his bracket, and Isaac, state place winner as well, and seeded third, and dominated against Jakari Clark from West Des Moines Valley in his semifinal match, and then had a good match against Jabari Henson in the finals. And coaches, we've talked to Isaac. It's hard to get up this early in the year for two really big matches and the second competition of the year, but he's dialed in, and I know we can win that match against Jabari in the future and other kids in the bracket. So, yeah, we're just one match at a time, working towards the end of the year.
Well, let's look ahead to Thursday's meet now. You guys won last year's meeting 42-17. Of course, the Hawks, they opened their season with an impressive 53-19 win at Valley. And Coach Wignall thinks that this team is wrestling as well as any squad he has had for this early in the season. Do you feel like it's a pretty even matchup on paper?
I do. I'm looking at the lineups that we've exchanged, and, they've got some really good kids. We got some really good kids, and it's just going to come down to how those matchups work out and how some of the toss-up matches end up. I think those are going to be big, for both schools if we can go out there and, get some bonus points in a toss-up match or, just win the majority of the toss-up matches. That's going to be the difference, because I think it's pretty darn close to like 6-6, favored on each side there, and then a couple matches where it's going to make a difference.
Well, yeah, I know you guys are still trying to put a full lineup together. You mentioned the open weights that you had there at the tournament at 106 and 113, I guess against Northwest. Do you think that will be the case again tomorrow, or do you got guys at those weights?
Oh, we're getting there. We're getting there. We'll have people in there, and we need more experience, more mat time with some of those lighter weights that traditionally our younger kids for in there at 106 and 113. So just more mat time, more patience, more encouragement to keep them around so they don't get down about it. And we'll probably maybe do a little back and forth, varsity and JV. We host a JV tournament this Friday as well, so it might be wrestling varsity on Thursday and wrestling JV on Saturday or Friday. So we'll just get more mat time, keep getting better.
Well, I know Coach Wignall mentioned that he might have some things up his sleeve to try to score as many points as possible tomorrow. I'm sure you've done that as well. I don't want you to give away your strategy, but have you been, you know, trying to figure out the best way to score points?
Well, yeah, of course. Wouldn't be doing my job if I wasn't looking at the matchups and, you know, seeing where I think we can get an advantage. And I, you know, right now our plan is to go out there and put our best guys on the mat and see what happens.
Well, both teams currently have five ranked wrestlers. One of the pivotal matches could be at 120, where you guys have Kale, and Ankeny has Aiden Winkie, who is ranked 11th. But Coach Wignall told me that he's having trouble making weight, so I guess he's not going to be there. So maybe they're looking to avoid a fall there. So but in a match like this, pretty much every match is important, isn't it?
Every match is important. Yeah, we, you know, I've been doing this a long time, and rarely does – you know, spending a bunch of time trying to strategize about how to move this kid here and this kid there pay off more than just putting your best kid out at each weight and seeing what they can do. So that's our plan anyway.
Well, you guys are obviously really strong in the middleweights, where you have Isaac and Max. You know, do you think it'll be important to get some bonus points in those matches?
Oh, for sure. Yeah. I mean, bonus points, I think, will be the difference, just like it was with Waukee Northwest. You know, we gotta get some falls. And I've been teasing Isaac and Max all week long about the fact that they only got a tech fall instead of a pin. They knew what they were supposed to do, go out there and get the fall. Now, I can't complain too much about a tech fall, but yeah, we're looking for pins. We're looking to put people on their back and get the match over with and get off there and then cheer on the next guy.
Well, I know you've been happy too with the progress of your upper weights. You guys got a third place finish from Brooke Keller at 215 on Saturday, and I think the Hawks have been happy with their upper weights as well. You know, so even though there aren't, you know, many ranked guys at those weights, you know, those matches are going to be crucial too, aren't they?
Yeah, they'll be big. The matchups at I think 90 and 215 are going to be big matchups for both schools. You know, those are a couple of those matches that I think are toss-up matches that, you know, they'll make a big difference on, you know, if we can win both of those matches, I think then there's a pretty darn good chance we'll win. Whoever wins those two matches is going to win the duel, basically.
One of your team's ultimate goal is to be peaking in February, you know, come state tournament time. After placing fourth last year, you know, do you feel like this team, you know, could contend for a trophy if you get everybody on the mat at the same time and wrestling their best?
I think so. There's a lot of parity as early on in the season right now. I mean, I think Southeast Polk and Bettendorf are probably the two solid favorites right now at 1 and 2. But honestly, everything from there is who's going to be ready in February when it matters the most and who's going to go out and perform. And I think with the kids we got and the attitudes they have, and they're, you know, I agree with Jack as far, you know, his team, he says they're really gelling and wrestling well together, and I feel like ours are doing the same. They're just a great group of kids that push each other, and we're going to make a run at it for sure.
Well, it should be a fun meet tomorrow night. I'm looking forward to it. I'll see you there. Thanks for coming tonight, Coach.
You bet. Thanks a lot, Dan.
You bet. All right. Well, my final guest tonight is a senior for the Jaguars, and he is ranked 6th at 150. He is a 2-time state qualifier who plays 7th at 138 as a sophomore. He is Isaac Brule. Isaac, thanks for joining me. How you doing?
Good. How are you? Thanks for having me.
Hey, you bet. Well, I know it's early in the season, but how do you feel like it's going this far?
I think it's going pretty smooth. I mean, you know, I bumped down a weight, but I feel like that's been good for me, and because I was a little bit small at 157 last year, so I feel like bumped down a weight was good, and I feel like it's going pretty good so far. So.
Well, I'll ask you about that here in a little bit. Of course, your football season didn't end until the quarterfinal round of the Class 5A playoffs, so you didn't have a lot of time off or to get ready for the wrestling season. You know, are you able to make that transition pretty smoothly?
Yeah. I feel like I can go from sport to sport pretty smoothly, and also I was playing both sides of ball in football, so I was in decent shape, and I feel like that carried over to wrestling, and I was able to translate that to the mat.
Well, do you feel like you're in wrestling shape now, or is it going to take you a while, you know, to get to where you want to be?
I think I'm in better shape at this point than what I was at this point last year, and I think that I'll just keep progressing and keep getting better and getting in better shape every single day. So,
well, you're obviously one of the leaders on the football team. You mentioned that you played both ways. Have you tried to be a leader for the wrestling squad as well?
A little bit. I feel like I could do a little bit more, use my voice a little bit more, and especially since I'm a senior and been doing it for a while. So I feel like, yeah, I could definitely do a lot more than what I am. But,
well, of course, your brother Lucas was such a big part of the team the last few years. You know, is it kind of strange not having him around this year?
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, it is. It was bound to happen, though. Like,
oh, yeah.
Same thing happened last year with baseball. He wasn't able to play, and I wasn't able to play with him out there. So, I mean, yeah, it's a little bit different, but
Well, Chris, you had one of the biggest wins of the night in your team's 40-39 victory over Waukee Northwest in the season opener. You recorded a 21-3 technical fall over number 11 Lincoln Hutt, and that was the only matchup of rated wrestlers that night. Now, do you have wrestled him before?
Yeah, I wrestled him my sophomore year.
Or were you surprised at all that you were able to come out in your first match and dominate the way you did?
Nah, I was pretty sure that was going to happen, and I was pretty confident in that match and going into it. So.
Well, we talked earlier with Coach about, you know, what a big fall that was that Ryan Smith got at 175. What was your reaction when he got that pin? I wasn't there, but that had to be a pretty cool moment for the whole team.
Yeah, no, that was a really cool moment. I don't think a lot of people expected that to happen, and it was a good match all around, and then ended up getting him on his back and pinning him, and yeah, everyone went crazy. It was a good moment.
Well, of course, your teammate Max DeBolt followed up your technical fall with another one at 157, and he's obviously a kid with a very bright future. Coach mentioned for the season preview that you and Max are good training partners. Now, I know how competitive both you guys are. You know, do those training sessions get pretty heated sometimes?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like we're able to keep our cool, but you know, we're good friends, but when we're on the mat, we're also going at it. We're fighting, but we're also nice to each other. But I feel like we both make each other better and just help each other improve every single day and
sure
help each other out. So,
well, coaches describe Max as kind of a funky wrestler to me in the past. You know, is that part of what makes him so good, that he's not really like most other wrestlers?
Yeah, I feel like a lot of people struggle to wrestle with him. Even I struggle to wrestle with him, and I wrestle with him every day. So that'll definitely be good for him in the future.
Of course, then your team won the Keith Young Invitational on Saturday at Cedar Falls, and you played a key role in that victory by placing second at 150. You were part of a really tough bracket, like Coach talked about, that included some other ranked kids. In the semifinals, you did pin number 3 Ja'Kari Clark of Valley with 1 second left in the match. Now, had you wrestled him before, and how were you able to pin him?
I wrestled him a while ago back in it was freestyle season, freestyle state, and he beat me in the finals. He took me down with, like, 4 seconds left in the match and ended up winning that match. So it was a good match for me to get back. And he tried to throw me at the end of the match this time, and I just caught him on his back and pinned him. So yeah, it was a good one to get back.
Well, then the finals, you did drop a 4-1 decision to number 4 Jabari Hinson of Ames. And like Coach mentioned, you know, it's tough to get up for 2 really tough matches, you know, back to back this early in the season. Did you feel like maybe you were a little bit out of gas at that point, or?
I don't think I was felt like I was really out of gas, but I kind of wrestled a little bit timid in that match, and I didn't feel like I gave it like everything that I had, and I really want that match back, and I feel like it'll be a different outcome next time it happens. So.
Well, I'm sure you'll see him again. Yeah. And you had to be really happy with the team's performance. Do you think that, you know, this showed what you guys are capable of?
Yeah, it definitely did. We got a solid team, and I feel like we're just going to keep building and keep getting better, and by the end of the season we'll be up there with all the other teams. So,
let's look ahead to Thursday's meet. You know, I'm guessing that this won't be your last head-to-head battle against the Hawks, because I assume you'll be playing baseball next summer. But it will be your last Jaghawk wrestling duel, unless the two teams would happen to meet at the state duels. You know, what would that mean to you to get a win on Thursday, you know, on their home mat?
It'd mean a lot, especially since it's in their gym. And if we just go in there and are able to get stuff done and get out, and yeah, it'd mean a lot.
Well, of course, you won by a major decision in last year's duel at 157, but like you mentioned, you bumped down to 150 this year. So were you kind of undersized then at 157 last year?
A little bit. I was not really, like, doing anything to make weight. I was kind of weighing, like, 157 or even less, like, every day. That's what I was walking around at, so I was a little bit small at that weight. But
so do you like being at 50 better? Or?
Yeah, definitely do.
Well, Ankeny has been wrestling A.J. Rao at 150 this year. He placed 18th at the Dan Gable Donnybrook last week. Have you ever wrestled him? Do you know much about him?
I haven't wrestled him.
All right. Well, when you look at the dual meet as a whole, what do you think are going to be the pivotal matches?
Definitely the upper weights, because I feel like if we can get a win at 90 and a win at 215, I feel like those are going to be two of the bigger matches. And then our lower weights too, because we don't have a 6-pounder right now. Mm-hmm. So we're giving away that, and then hopefully we can get something at 113. But
well, we talked with Coach about the goals for the team. You know, do you feel like the squad has the potential to, you know, to contend for a trophy at the end of the year?
I think we do. I think if we just keep building every single day and keep pushing each other and holding each other accountable, then we'll be up there with the teams at the end of the year.
Well, Isaac, before I let you go, I just wanted to ask you about your future plans. You're coming off a good season on the football field, and you were an All-State player in baseball last summer, and that's the sport that your brother Lucas is pursuing in college. You know, do you know which sport, if any, you want to play at the next level?
I plan on either playing football or baseball. I'm not really sure yet, and plan on going JUCO, but I'm still trying to figure that out, kind of just taking it slow and making sure I get with the right school. So.
Well, assuming this is your last season on the wrestling mat, then you want to make it a memorable one, right?
Yeah, sure do.
Well, hey, Isaac, thanks a lot for coming in tonight. I appreciate it, and we'll see you at the meet tomorrow night.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
You bet. All right, you're listening to the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast, sponsored by Coldwell Banker Mid-America. At Coldwell Banker, you're not one of many clients, you're our most important client. We listen to your needs, develop long-lasting relationships, and provide the best services, professional support, and resources in the industry. We're constantly exploring new and innovative ways to elevate your experience and exceed your expectations. Our network of resources allows us to be the number one Coldwell Banker franchise affiliate in Iowa, guiding you home for over 30 years. Well, I want to thank my guests again for coming in tonight. We had Ankeny Wrestling Coach Jack Wignall and Senior Andrew Hazy, and we had Ankeny Centennial Coach Jay Groth and Senior Isaac Brule. I appreciate the time from all of those folks tonight. I'm looking forward to the meet tomorrow night. It should be a good one. And come back next week for another edition of the Ankeny Fanatic Weekly Podcast.